Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. When you end up in new places, did you ever notice you have a heightened sense of awareness for what is different? When we walk into new environments and new climates, we tend to quickly look around and make judgments. Those judgments are based upon what we know from our life experiences. Too often, we are quick to judge and slow to understand, and that is the focus of this episode. Are you on the outside looking in, or the inside looking out? Last summer, the Knightsky family took their annual summer road trip. My sister-in-law Maddie had suggested we stop going out west to the mountains and try going out east. Now, as a born and raised Midwesterner, I had to be convinced to go out east. I've had weird experiences on the East Coast and especially in New York. As a matter of fact, because of the Midwestern kind of niceness, I was once told by a police officer on a horse to stop being nice to people in Central Park as I was jogging because the mom behind me had complained and grown concerned about my positive behavior. He laughed, and I just kept running. Anyway, so we went out east, staying in Cooperstown, New York, Vermont, Bar Harbor, Maine, and Boston. The trip took us all over the area, but I found myself wondering why in the same country we were so similar and yet so very different. I'm curious by nature, a people person who loves to strike up conversations, and I'm adventurous. And I always eat what the locals are known for, no matter what. But each night, as a family, we would discuss what was similar and different. The Finger Lakes in upstate New York were really cool, but kind of weird compared to the Great Lake we live on, and the mountains in Vermont are very different than the mountains of Colorado and Wyoming. The people at Ben & Jerry's, well, they're pretty interesting. But it was when we arrived in Maine that we began to really take a look around and realize that we were not like the people who lived there at all. Let me explain. In Maine, there are no R's in the dialect, and no one turns when they drive. Here's how it works. One morning, I, as always, wake up long before the rest of the family, and I head out on my own little adventure while everyone else sleeps. Bar Harbor is on the north side of Acadia National Park, and I wanted to go hiking. As I was driving out of town, I saw three city workers in a park unloading gear from a truck, so I asked, "Hey, any tips for a guy from Wisconsin to avoid the lines in the park?" Now, this is my best impression of what I heard. "Yeah! Bahaba is a tough place to get through in summer, so take your car and bang a left in the park about a mile up." Now, if my kids are listening, they're violently rolling their eyes right now because after I spoke with these guys, well, I talked like them the rest of the trip. But here's the deal. I did spend the rest of my morning thinking about their dialect, its uniquenesses, and what I must have sounded like to them. They probably called me a cheese eater after I drove away and banged that left into the park. I was reminded of this story the other day as I was coaching someone who's about to take a new position. Their perception of the new position is that there's a lot wrong with the people and the processes in the new organization. They were rattling off at light speed all the things that had to be fixed by them, discussing the heavy lift it was going to take in order to get their way, and all of the work that had to be done in order for it to be the way they needed it. So it must have been a seriously figurative punch to the mouth when I asked them this question. I wonder if the person you are replacing, who did all that heavy lifting to get the organization to the level that it currently is, had said the same thing when they started. So many people, when they take on a new position, go in with a mindset of inquisition. What's wrong around here is a leading question. Many times the people who bring you in, who hire you, actually tell you that there are a ton of things that need to be fixed, and as a result, they fail you as the new person by forgetting to review all that is right. When you are on the outside looking into a new organization, you should be focusing on what is working. There should be a mindset of inquiry and not judgment, and a willingness on the part of the leader to absorb and adopt the elements of the culture that you're in. Bahaba! When you are in a new position, new to a system, a new company, a new team, a new department, or anything new, do not walk into the role looking to fix it or make it your way. Walk into the new position looking to grow within that system. Here is my favorite analogy when I'm working with a leader. When you start working in a system, you step onto a moving train, a train that has been on a journey. There are people on that train who've been on it for a long time, can tell you all about the journey, why there are nicks in the woodwork kind of historians, and there are people on the train who don't want to be on it. There are people who've recently gotten on it, and there are people who need to get off. But that train is in motion. It has a history and has been on a journey. So when a new leader gets on the train, they have to focus on what is right, who's in what seats, why people do what they do, what is working, and what has opportunities for improvement. The new leader on the train needs to make observations, inquire into the history of the processes, and seek to understand how the train got to where it is today. Too often, however, new leaders before even stepping on that train make judgments while they're looking at it from the outside. Look at this thing. Who are these people? What's wrong with them? They're not like me. I need to get more outside help. This place is messed up. New leaders also make the mistake of orally sharing their opinions. They fail to listen to everyone in the organization. Instead, talk about themselves, share their experiences, and try to build a sense of expertise about themselves. As a result, they isolate the crew, the passengers, the stakeholders. They deter other people from getting on, and they create conditions that often lead to organizational sabotage. People who try to uncouple from the engine being led by the new leader. One of the strongest qualities of leaders is self-awareness. This simply is being cognizant of the scary fact that everything you do makes a difference and is being judged. If you are new to your role, you need to remember that every night you are being discussed somewhere by someone you serve. And that should lead you to the other core behaviors of great leaders. Here they are: role modeling, integrity, expectations, predictability, and perseverance. When you have a "what is wrong with everyone around here" attitude, and you are under the spell that you have all the answers, you are creating the conditions for your own failure. Leaders who lead through criticism, narcissism, and an eye on weaknesses get very little loyalty, and after a while, usually find themselves in a train car and wondering, where did everybody go? Many of us get a chance to get into new situations, and my challenge for you is to work your way from the outside looking in to the inside looking out. That is the journey. You enter on the last car of the train and patiently work your way to the front. Here are the steps for you on that journey. And this is applicable no matter what you do. Enter the train with enthusiasm for the people on it. Start by recognizing what they're good at. Build relationships with people by monitoring, measuring, and recognizing their contributions to the climate, the culture, and the organization. Take time to listen and follow the 2 ears, 1 mouth rule. Listen twice as much as you speak. As you work your way up the train, repeat the stories of others, listen for themes, and ask what is going well as what opportunities for improvement exist. If you ask those two questions, people will tell you. A quick aside for you as well. Delay meeting with the first 3 people that ask for an appointment. I have found that they have an agenda that is encyclopedic in size. They want to frame your perception, take advantage of your newness, and influence you for their own benefit. As a matter of fact, the first 3 people that want to meet with you, meet with them last, so that you have a clear narrative in your head before it is clouded by them. Okay, anyway, as you work your way through the organization, focusing on inquiring, celebrating, and building relationships, make observations and identify the themes. Assess the culture, and instead of saying things like, "I can't believe everyone leaves here at 4:30, find out why that culture and those norms exist. Here's why. I was once working for someone who expected that you did leave every day at 4:30, no matter what. And they did that so that you could tend to the needs of yourself and your family. Someone from the outside might view that as a culture of laziness, when instead it's a legacy tradition built around putting the family first. Can you see how that would blow up on a new leader? Finally, once you've traversed the entire organization, go back to everyone and then tell them your story. Yep, learn their story and then tell your own. Remember that the best conversations people have are when someone listens to them first. If you spend an hour meeting, getting to know someone by spending the first 50 minutes of that hour justifying why you exist on Earth, you're failing them and you. So here are the keys for those of you in new positions, those who get to build new teams, or those of you joining new committees. Don't judge and articulate criticism. Inquire and celebrate what you see is right. What you see is right in front of you. Yep, that's simple. No one is going to take the word of the new person if the first thing said is, What's wrong with all of you? They will follow you and embrace you if you listen, work with them, honor their traditions, and reinforce what is going right. Over time, you assess who fits your value structure, who needs to learn more to be successful, and who simply needs to be invited to leave. As a leader, it is your job to focus on the needs of others. And in order to be a great leader, you need to focus on others. Enter the train with energy, honor their language, adopt their traditions, and build trust by showing those you serve that what they did and what they do always will matter. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe leaders in your life who have successfully onboarded to your culture. List the behaviors of great leaders as they step onto a moving train. Describe what you need to do in order to successfully build a culture of excellence as you start on a new team, on a new committee, or in a new organization. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening to the Smart Thinking Podcast, and please share this and other episodes on your social media platform, and please rate it on your podcast platform as well. Thank you to the Wellpennies for their music, and please look for the Wellpennies music on iTunes and Spotify. Finally, this episode was sparked by a seemingly harmless comment the other day when I was with a group of leaders from around the region. One guy is from out east, and he frequently tells us how everything here is messed up. No one can drive correctly, no one speaks correctly, and this part of the world is just messed up compared to where I'm from. I was about to lose it on him when I remembered that he's new here, and I just need to be patient with him. He'll slowly absorb the new ways and start to recognize how awesome his current environment actually is. That is, if he's a true leader. Because he's the new guy. This is our culture, and we don't think there's anything wrong with us. Can we get better? Heck yeah. But not if insulted. We'll buy into new stuff only after being shown a better way by someone who honors us, we trust, and we're willing to follow. Lastly, remember that the most offensive thing to people in the culture is a comparison to your old culture. No one cares how successful or popular you were at the old company, on the other team, in the other school. They care about their world and how you're going to make that world better. If I would have stopped and corrected the guys who I was asking for help in the park back in Maine, they wouldn't have been so supportive. A buffalo leader recognizes that they are guests when they enter a new herd, and they observe the behaviors of everyone when there is the first storm. But over time, that same buffalo leader creates the culture that gets everyone to sense the storm, feel the change in the air, and run together towards the problem. Eventually, they too will call Bar Harbor Bahaba.
Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? There's a song arising, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me?